Welcome everybody to this presentation. Today I'm going to present on my case study or my implementation case, Holacracy, at a bigger company. It's called Hypoport. It's a German company. But before I go there, just a few words about me. I'm currently working mainly as a certified Holacracy coach. And I'm also a partner at ncode.org with Tom. He's here, one of the co-founders, and others, Christiane. And I've been, before that, I've been working as a co-director of the Integral European Conference. And also for before that was the Integrales Forum, Germany, so I've been involved with the Integral community for a while, and also have my own little business, Integral Context. So that's a bit about me, and the company I'm gonna I'm doing this implementation in is Hypoport. Hypoport is a company in. Mainly located in Lübeck, in the north of Germany, and their mission is, well, it's a mixture of financial services and technology. So they have tech platforms where they kind of combine different services. So the company itself consists, it's a holding, the Hypoport AG, Aktiengesellschaft, a shareholder company. It consists of 16 subsidiaries, and if you're German, maybe you've seen one of them, probably not, or maybe not, I don't know. If you're not in the banking or insurances business, you may not know them, but it's a pretty successful company, and so as I mentioned, 16 subsidiary companies. And they distribute financial services supported by technologies, what we commonly call fintech or finance technology. They have four main business units, which are, they have a credit platform, they do private clients, they have institutional clients, and they have an insurance platform where you can compare insurances. The company shares are listed in the German stock market since 2015. As I said, they're pretty successful in that. The company I started to help introduce Holacracy into is, so you got to start somewhere, right? You can't start with 16 altogether. The first is Dr. Klein, Privatkunden AG. They focus on distributing mortgage finance and other financial products to customers, consumers, and provide qualified advice in person or on the telephone about these products. And of course, they have on the back end, they have all their own software solutions to help select the best products for each client from a broad selection of all appropriate banks and insurance companies. So they kind of overlook the whole portfolio and reduce complexity on behalf of the customer. So that's actually something I can support as a value. So that's something I would like to be receiving as a customer, not somebody who's trying to sell me their own products, like a bank. You go, you want to get a mortgage, go to some financial product, and they just want to sell you your own shit, their own shit. But they actually look through the market and help you find what's right for you. So, so the backstory of Hypoport, how did they come to even want to adopt Holacracy, is they had a company-wide gathering. So they brought together all the leaders from their different divisions in 2016, and they decided on to adopt four principles. They kind of worked it out in a big workshop. Like, what are our values? What should guide our work? We want to be, you know, united as a group of companies. We want to, you know, operate under the same principles. What should these principles be? And they called it the Hypoport Principium. The one family is the family, of course, of the companies, so to speak. They distilled it down for them to four sentences, which, of course, each can be unpacked and was unpacked in greater detail. So one of them, the first, we lead together. So here you have the inkling of self-organization. We work together. It should be obvious, but in some companies, it's not. So yeah, they articulated it. We consciously learn and develop ourselves. So there's also the they put a value on self-development, actually also providing assistance to individuals who get stuck in their process and need coaching and personal facilitation. And then we organize decentrally and autonomously. So here, the allusion to self-organization. So decentralize it, decentralize power and decision-making, and have each individual unit as autonomous, act as autonomously as possible. So what they had, so they said, great. They put it up on a big poster and said, yeah, these are our values and these are our principles. So now, let's do it. Yeah. Right. Sounds great in theory. So they set off on this path, and it's like, okay, how can we make this real? How can we, what would fit the bill? What would make this work? How can we do this? Do we want to invent all this from scratch? Nah, rather not. So they looked around. They looked around for different models and tried this and that. And they ended up with Holacracy. So this is Stefan Gavarecki, the board member of Hypoport AG, and he and his colleagues looked around and, yeah, arrived at one solution that they think would work for them, that they want to try on, that they want to put into action, and that is the Holacracy model. Why Holacracy? Well, I guess it comes down to if you have a company and need to scale such an implementation, or you want to transform your top-down leadership model to a self-organizing leadership, you need somewhat clarity in your figuring out how to do this on a day-to-day basis. It needs to be well described. And that's one of the big advantages of Holacracy that I see. It has a very explicit rule set, namely the constitution. It has a Holacracy constitution. Who of you knows about Holacracy? Yeah. Who has heard about the constitution? Yeah. So for those of you who don't know the constitution, yeah, basically it embeds the principles of the rules of the game. So it's like grammar. Like you only look into a grammar book if you need to, right? So otherwise you just try to speak. And that's how you also, the way how you learn Holacracy, you don't first start off with the grammar book, you start with learning the language and the practice by speaking, by doing, like Brother David Steiner-Rust alluded to this morning so beautifully. So you understand by doing it. And then later, when you look at it in an objective way, third-person perspective, then you can actually describe what are the rules of the game. And so this Holacracy has been a rule set that has been distilled down over many trial and errors in ternary software, and also later then in Holacracy 1, which were the founding companies who implemented this method. So some basics about Holacracy for those of you who are new to this or don't know so much in details about it. So Holacracy is a replacement for the conventional management hierarchy. We officially now do have an alternative to running things top-down. So, and that is this new structure and these new rules. We say in Holacracy, purpose is the new boss. So it's not people having power over people, it's the purpose that guides each individual and each individual role filler of the organization. In Holacracy, the word is derived from holarchy. Holarchy, as we know from Kant's theory, is nested holons and holons, circles, roles, accountabilities are what makes up this holarchy. The organization does not consist of people. It does not. It's not a team of cool people doing cool stuff in the world. It's not. It's a structure that serves purpose, and the ingredients of the structure are circles, roles, accountabilities. These are the sub-holons, if you will. It's a tension-driven organizational operating system. What does that mean? Well, tensions are anything that doesn't work or something you want to improve upon that Holacracy allows you to process into meaningful change. And two important dimensions of Holacracy that Holacracy works on is governance operations. Operations, we all know, it's quite familiar, the day-to-day work. We fill our roles and we do the work of our roles. Governance lets you have a second look at those roles, at those structures within which you do the work, and lets you tweak and amend them. And evolutionary over time, you approach the requisite structure of the organization, which may not be the ones you started with. So there's a structured meeting process and facilitation. The role of the facilitator is a very important one in Holacracy. Running the meetings and helping people process their tensions into meaningful change for the organization. I also already mentioned the Holacracy Constitution. It's currently its version 4.1, meaning there have been versions before and there will likely be versions after that, meaning it's an evolutionary unfolding. I hope for the better, but I'm pretty sure it is. So it's getting more refined and more sturdy and anti-fragile, I would say. Some more basics. So we basically have this. I found this great graphic from Mohamed Ali Vakil from Holacracy One. So you do the work in clear roles. Then you sense tensions in your roles, which can be challenges or opportunities. You process these either in governance or in tactical meetings. If you process in them governance meetings, you can clarify and improve upon the role structure. If you see this picture, things change in here. Here this popped just up. So things change in the structure as you do the work. That's for Holacracy. How do you go about and adopt this? I can just tell you where we are currently at the moment. We're not done. I don't know when done is exactly, but it's probably once there's some kind of reliable repetition of the patterns that make up the system. So first of all, we need to get buy-in from top management. You cannot kind of roll it out bottom up. You need the top-down approach. It's kind of paradoxical. In the sense that it's being, you're being ordained into freedom or something. It's like somebody compels you to be free or something. It's kind of paradoxical. But you need that to get going. So whichever power holder there is in the organization needs to say yes to this and sign the constitution. It's like the monarch signing the constitution of a state. You transfer power from person into process. And the process ensures that everything's being done according to process and not according to individual egoic wants and needs. So the top management signed the the Holarctic Constitution in the case of Dr. Klein. So yeah, we got that. The next step is to capture the current work in circles, roles, and accountabilities. So for any organization that is not starting right off with Holarctic, of course there are already existing divisions and departments and what have you, and people are already doing work. So you try to, the first step is to try to capture that circles, roles, and collect, and then you group the recurring actions, accountabilities. Condense them in roles. There's a big circle for the whole organization, which then we've rolled out the implementation process, and from the top to the bottom of the organization. So we started with the top circles, and we're now like two, three layers down, and there's still some parts of the organization who haven't started their work in circles, but we're going to reach them as well, and then they also will follow the prescribed meeting processes and the required outputs of the meetings. So they were kind of halfway in there. So we have distilled the initial circle structure. That's important. So you just take the org chart of the organization that you had, and then you pretend that this is the required structure, and you do draw circles around each So you have this classical org chart where you have if you have one, I use one. Okay, is that better? Good.
Yes.
Good. So you have these departments and divisions, whatever. And then you just assume those are the real required circles. Wait, this would go this way, and then you draw a circle around them, and then the overall is the biggest circle. And then you go from there. You just take it as is, and then let the tensions inform you in which way this is not the exact right way, the right structure. So that's, but it's important. It's a tension-driven process, meaning you don't go by, oh, which circle should we draw, but rather wait until the tension shows up to create a circle. Very important, because people who start with Holarctic usually get over-structured and like, oh, we create a sub-circle and a sub-circle of a sub-circle, and then it's really hard to do work meaningfully.
Yeah.
Question?
Can you give us a real-world example or what that kind of tension would be with a group of people to cause them to do a circle?
Yeah, so what would be a tension? So, for example, well, it has a lot to do with cohesion of roles. So if a lot of roles sit in a meeting, and so you imagine a meeting of 10 people, and there's like also, let's say, there's 15 roles involved, so there's not a clear match between roles and peoples, right? You can usually have more roles in a meeting than people. Because people fill roles, okay? So those roles, so imagine you have 5 people talking like very intensely, and the other half, the other 5 people, just get bored, and you know, just they don't really talk to, you know, they don't get engaged in the meeting process because they don't have tensions with anything. Yeah, do your work, great, fine. You know, doesn't involve my role. So if you observe such patterns and you see, maybe the circle structure should be different. Maybe you should have 2 circles instead of 1 big circle. And you take that as data to inform you, and then you form a hypothesis, and you maybe just create a circle boundary around it and then see how that goes. Maybe there's still need to talk across those 2 sections that you just separated, which is fine. which may be appropriate, but not as much as before, so it's more functional. No, they don't need to be in, because if their roles are really not being talked to, there's not much for them to do there. So they probably stop showing up to these meetings because... Yeah, right. So it's all attention driven. So that's the way to do this. So then once you have that in place, kind of defined, you go and kick off tactical and governance meetings. What does that mean? Well, you come in and say, okay, now we're going to process your work according to the processes that Holacracy defines. Remember, there's two meeting types. How much time do I have, by the way? Anybody checking? Because I'm losing myself here right away. Okay. 20 minutes to go. Okay, so we have like 30 minutes each. Oh, 10 past 12. Okay, so let's say 10 more minutes. Okay. Good. So you kick off the meetings. We did that halfway, so not all the circles. I told you we haven't set up all the circles, but those we have, we did. And meanwhile, you do that. So first you let the meetings be moderated by trained facilitators. You don't want amateurs to run the circle meetings, because that just that might lead to a lot of frustration because the meeting process is already frustrating for people, so you don't want to add on top to that. So you try to train new facilitators. We started that. My colleague, who invited me to join. So I'm not leading this alone, thank God. Klaas Reinecke, he's a certified coach too, and the two of us. We're training the internal facilitators. So you got to really give them a deep dive into how do these meetings work, make them do it, train it, and then they're ready at a ready level, so to speak, to actually face the real meetings, so they don't feel lost and screw up the process. So at least not too much. They will eventually anyway, but if they know where they have uncertainties, they can ask the coaches and get help and improve, right? So so once you have the new facilitators in place, the internal ones trained, you make sure you accompany them for a few sessions, at least shadowing, we call it. So you sit in the meeting, and whenever there's help needed, you're ready to provide feedback. And after the sessions, you do a debrief, see what have you learned, and what could have been done better. Or, yeah, if it's really bad, then I would interject, but if I can avoid it, I would just shut up and just let them hold the process. A future step that we haven't come to is create something of an internal community of practice, so that you kind of institutionalize the expertise around the practice of Holacracy. Holacracy is not just a theory, it's mainly a practice. It's in the doing. You can read books about it. It's great, good to read books, good to be informed, good to have all the terms and lingo, but ultimately it's a know-how. It's what do I do if this tension comes up? What's the right path to process this tension? What's the right path to process that tension, and so on? And that's something there's no way around learning this, with the help of a myriad examples, and you need examples. That means you need to do it. All right. So, yeah, and then later we will have advanced practice topics, like how do you deal with certain situations? How do you upgrade other systems, hiring and firing, and all that organizational apps that you call? How do you make them dynamic, self-organized, and all that good stuff? So this is another way of visualizing that. So pre-launch, so you takes about a month. Well, these are all very rough estimates. Like, don't take them too serious. Then you have a launch event. You do the first meeting and facilitation and workshops as needed to get people up to speed. So you give them also, you try to give everybody a taster workshop before you start the whole practice. That I forgot that to mention that. So a taster is lets them test drive the process in a simulated scenario. That they have these taster workshops. So okay, right. So some milestones here. People signed it. Great. I'm very happy about that. So what are the challenges? Yeah, scale the know-how and the facilitation skills. Like, it's difficult. The holacracy is complex. Any moving parts, how do you do that? Yeah, good luck. Scaling internal taster days and trainings. Yeah, so that's what we did. We have like five times 12 people already trained as facilitators. So and they act as internal experts. Then there's another thing is scaling Holacracy habit support. There's been some difficulties with Holacracy 1 because there's a software solution for capturing the governance. In Holacracy, you capture all the governance in the software. It's the most convenient and most effective. And there's two softwares. One is GlassFrog and one is HolaSpirit. And this company chose HolaSpirit. Well, I can't just pitch for one solution. I can't make them do it. But it had a problem with the habit support. Habit support means you get emails. Everybody gets an email every week or so with some practice instructions, and that wasn't going with the HolaSpirit anyway. Future challenges for sure: decoupling leadership and disciplinary responsibility. And redefining compensation, hiring and firing. And also some people have problems with alternative career paths. So imagine you're in a company and you exit, in Holacredit company, you work there, and you exit that. What does your resume say? It says, yeah, I filled five roles, this, that, and the other. Yeah, but you weren't vice president of this and that. So what is that worth in labor market, you know? Well, I don't know. It's a tension. So this is a screenshot. Oh, that's a very bad. You can't really see shit here. Anyway, you should see a circle structure. A screenshot of the software. It's really bad, so it's too light. Maybe can make it a bit. Never mind. I don't waste time on this. So this is circle structure. The software captures it. It supports the meeting processes, and you can look up who's filling which role. You have clarity at your fingertip. If you want to know who's doing what, you can look it up. So one other thing I want to talk about is the OMG circle. It's oh my god. Organisation, Mensch, Gemeinschaft in German, organization, human, community, and it's something akin to what we're trying to do with Encode.org, namely to the purpose of the circle is to manage the relationship and needs between the organization, the individual, and the people. It's parallel to the company circle, where the purpose of the organization is being pursued more directly. Because it's indirectly pursuing the purpose of the organization by creating the conditions for operating for the operations of the GCC, the General Company Circle, to run smoothly. What does that mean? Everything from who provides the room, who takes care of the office spaces, who organizes the party of the community of workers, who and all those issues. Also, individual labor contracts between individuals and the organization need to be negotiated, and needs to be a clear role for that to hold that.